because she does not like dead air. I like dead air. When I'm doing something, watching TV, sitting in a bar, people watching, I want dead air.
You're never going to be able to completely stop talking.
Jerry, 94% of communication is nonverbal. Here, watch.
What does this mean?
Well, it's Frank and Estelle's reaction to hearing about George's man love for a ginger.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
This is the B Team and Chewy. Or no, excuse me. This is Chewy and the B Team, not Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I'm Homer. Will is also here. We were discussing Will smoking. Do they call it pot? What do kids call it today? I like to call it weed.
My parents used to call it hashishi too. Yeah.
Will, but Homer, what's it called today? Hold on, we got to get to this, then we'll get to you, Chewy.
Probably just weed.
Weed. Will can't even grow a beard. Don't believe he smokes. I don't know that there's a connection.
I was going to do No Shave November.
Can you grow a beard?
I was trying to.
Just realize,
3 days, and it looks really
bad.
Just
realize all those things are really great to be. You're kind of a Bob Costa-like person. When he was 30, he looked like he was 18. That's a good thing, not a bad thing.
All right,
Chewy, back to you, because I have a question for you.
I consider you all-knowing, okay? I agree on most your takes. Not all of them, but I agree on a lot of them, okay?
Yes.
Now, all I did...
Do you agree on this one? This is the only reason I agreed to the show.
With Will?
No, so that I can ask you this question.
Well, let me
you
ask
will
you.
Admit. No, we got to get to this first.
Okay.
You will admit that Tucker Kraft is a better tight end than you were.
Yes, I have.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I did yesterday with Jason.
Oh, good. Okay, now back on to your question. Then I can leave.
Okay.
Why is he better than you?
He's rounded, number one, which I love. And
what?
Rounded. He's well-rounded.
Oh, well-rounded. You just said rounded. Will, did I miss the well part, or did he not say well-rounded?
Maybe he said rounded.
He said rounded.
He missed the well, but it's okay.
All right, that's good. I'm worried about me.
He's probably not quite yet as good a blocker as I was.
Yeah, I agree with
but
that.
But he'll get there. He'll get there with years and strength and his body. You know, he'll get stronger. Because you're your strongest at 26, 27, so he's still got some time. But him as a receiver, he's very explosive after the catch, you know, and looking back, the game's changed a little bit because it was either Joshy or Gabe or Sutton.
Your average per catch was better than I remembered. I thought it would be like
12 point,
8 yards, and it was
no,
that was 12.
You get me confused with William Henderson.
No, that just means you caught it 12 yards down the field.
Well, if I fall forward, Homer, that's another 3 yards.
Correct. So you caught it 9 yards. There was no running after you caught the ball.
Not a lot. No, I think he's
how good would you have been without
incredible.
Brett Favre? The same? I'm curious of this. I say the same.
I don't know. The chemistry was okay. Really
so
good.
Another quarterback might not have thrown as many passes to you as he did.
I don't know about throwing as many passes, but as far as being as accurate, Brett was fairly accurate. And the ball got there so quick, which is nice because you want the ball to get there quick so you don't get killed.
And you don't know how long you're going to be open.
Correct. And they always said about me catches the ball in a crowd real well because he's always in one.
There are two parts to that. You have to be good to be in a crowd. Otherwise, the defense doesn't have anybody around you. They just have one person, right?
Yeah.
To be in a crowd is...
Yeah.
But anyway,
Is he the best in the league right
he's
now?
He's played as well. The kid from Arizona and the kid for the Raiders, they're both phenomenal.
If you were his agent,
Bowers,
what would you...
Who's
if you
McBride,
were his agent, though...
What?
What would you tell him to do?
Get as much money
so
as
he's
can
going,
now.
Well, he's going to be kind of like Christian Watson, where I don't think he'll be ready for the start of the season.
Fine.
And if they threw $12 million at him and you were his agent, would you say, yeah, take it?
No.
So you're saying, no, we want 20.
Yes.
Four years, 20.
Unless a doctor tells me something, I think he's going to be a star and I want to be paid like a star and you're not going to get me cheap just because I'm worried about my injury.
Okay.
But not everybody would do that. And not everybody.
I would advise them what you're telling them.
The other option is that you would understand better than I is, and someone would say, look, you're just going to get hurt. Everybody gets hurt. You don't want to take the risk of getting hurt and not getting a majority of the money. If they will give you this, take it. Don't do it. Don't let it be for too many years or whatever. I mean, that's the part I think I don't understand, but every player has to accept that. It has nothing to do with anything other than that everybody gets hurt. How much of the guarantee can I get? And how much am I giving up? Because he could get hurt again, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's the worst part about being a great athlete. I always wanted to be a great athlete. Now I'm kind of glad I wasn't because the money is short and your life is over at whatever, and then you got to figure out what to do with the rest of your life.
So if you could be good, hold on, if you could be good at a sport, what would you choose?
I mean, whatever pays the most.
To make money.
I mean, what would I choose? Yeah. No, I would probably choose basketball. But I mean, it's like asking me if I could be a Martian or an alien. I mean,
but you wouldn't choose football.
No, because there's too much risk of injury.
Why wouldn't you choose baseball?
That too. I mean, it's hard to, like I said, it's not, you know, it's hard to relate to when, you know, I can't relate to being that good at anything, knowing the level of excellence you'd have to have. But to me, what would be the most fun to be good at? Oh, the most fun is to be a quarterback, baby. I'm in charge. I'm running the show. I'm the man. That's like being in basketball and you're playing by yourself.
Yeah, but what if you stink?
Fine. Then I stink.
And then
so what?
Doesn't
so
like
it's
you.
Like landing on the moon. You did it poorly. So what, baby? I'm on the moon.
What about Come being on. A backup quarterback?
I no, feel like that would be the best. I don't want a clipboard. No, you got to play.
But the backup, the third string gets the clipboard.
I just want to play. I don't care. I mean, I'm amazed by people that go to Division I schools and aren't playing. Man, I'm going wherever I can go that I got to play. What's the point of sitting on the damn bench? I want to play. Now it's all decided by money, so it's good. Yeah. Did you want to play?
They say that's the best position on the roster, though, is backup. Everyone loves the backup. Everyone loves Malik.
Willis?
Malik.
Fine. That's garbage. You wouldn't have wanted to be a backup. You wanted to play.
No. But some people, like do you remember Tyrone Davis, Homer?
He was a tight end for the Green Bay Packers.
Very good.
He was pretty good.
And then I retired, and they tried him. He did not want to be a starting tight end. He didn't.
I don't believe that.
He did not.
Get him on next time.
He
on,
just
get him
wanted
on.
To be a backup.
No,
he can't. He's dead. He died.
He's got to have relatives. Get relatives on. Kids, wife, family. There's
Jeff
no
Thomason,
way.
Jeff Thomason would agree with me.
Okay, get him on. He wouldn't agree.
Nobody
wants to
anymore.
Be a backup.
I disagree.
I'd want to be a backup.
What? And what?
I don't want to get hurt. I want to get paid.
Well, but again, understanding the level of athlete they are.
What? You are a backup.
Yeah, I guess.
Well,
maybe
no,
that's
it's
why.
Not.
You kind of are a backup.
Fine. When it's absurd for
wrong.
Us to talk about playing in the NFL, but I'm saying these are guys, okay, they've gone. If you had the experience of the people he brought up, there's no way they want to
all
be.
All right, can
a backup.
I ask you my question now?
Yes, you can.
Okay, so when it came to Will, all I said is smoking cigarettes. I turned the bus on. You jumped in the driver's seat. Ran over him, backed over him, and ran over him again.
Sir.
My question to you is, Homer, at what age can you no longer get in trouble with your parents? Because you've told me stories about your kids and some of the stuff they've done. At what age can you no longer get in trouble with your parents?
Well, depending on how bad you screw up, it could be forever. But in general, at what age does a parent become more supportive than acting like a parent when they're a child? I would say for me.
I said 18.
Nah,
18.
It's probably 25.
Wow. Well, here's the deal, Homer. So I went to school on scholarship, obviously.
Yes.
Parents. So at 18, I'm like, I don't need you anymore.
Correct.
I don't need you anymore. So you can't tell me what to do.
And you can't tell them what to do. That doesn't
I
mean.
I never have.
Well, that you just did. You're telling them, you can't tell me what to do. And I'm a parent, I'm going, you can say whatever you damn well think. I still have a belief as a parent that I have some responsibility. And I said 25, but anybody can pick a penny. Your parents, some parents, I think, pick 16. You're on your own. Fine. That's not.
That was, essentially us. But when you're, one of your kids, like, steal the car and smash it into a guardrail. How old was he?
He was young enough to. What was your question about me? When do I feel like?
At what age can you no longer get in trouble with your parents? Because my guess is Will is in trouble with his mother.
No way, not a million years.
Yes.
No.
No.
Yep.
In trouble for what?
For smoking ganj.
Hold on. He said he may have done it. If she didn't think he ever did it, this is a good process. Because every parent needs to assume that their kid is going to smoke marijuana at some point.
I disagree. It's not like Will went to a Grateful Dead concert.
What does that mean?
It means you either know you smoked weed or you didn't smoke weed.
Old man, Eisenhower's not the president. And let me ask Will. Will, of someone your age, what percentage of those people do you believe have smoked marijuana once or more in their life? I say 99%.
Yeah, it's like 85, 90%.
Really?
It's normalized now.
Do you have any other questions for 2025 for Will?
My kids turn me on.
You know the
weed.
Question I would ask now?
Did you hear what I said?
What percentage of kids have smoked something beyond marijuana or done something higher level than marijuana? I hope that's... I can't relate to that at all, but I'm guessing
30%.
Will? A lot lower.
30.
Yeah, that's
lower than
I don't
30,
know.
Probably.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So is smoking weed, Homer, kind of the equivalent of us having a beer?
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Really?
Well put.
That's where we're at.
Again, don't ask me. I'm old. Ask Will. Will. Ask the question of Will. Why you would ask me, Chewy?
Well,
ask Will anything about today, 2025, young people today. Go ahead.
I forgot my question.
The question was...
I was equating it to beer.
People,
like,
is it like smoking? Is smoking like drinking a beer? Will, how would you answer that?
About drinking beer?
I mean...
Because I could have a beer in front of my parents at 18. They weren't big on it, but they did it.
I don't think
you're ripping a J in front of your parents at 18 years old, Will.
It aligns much more beer drinking and smoking now.
Right. Now, the question might be then how many parents smoke, too? But I don't know that parents and kids
smoke
marijuana
together.
I can't
I don't
answer
smoke.
These. I'm an Eisenhower. I'm not Eisenhower, but I'm probably JFK or Nixon as far as an era. All right, we have the show just got totally lost, and that's fine.
Well, I think that was very, very knowledgeable.
You.
What you passed on
for you. When is Craig Karmazin coming on?
8:35.
We got one more segment. We'll get back to the Packers next.
All right.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
Craig Carm's in a couple minutes. Until then, this is Chewy and the B Team. Homer and Will filling in for everybody else. All right, Chewy, we got a couple minutes. I want one sentence. One sentence only about the following players. You ready? Whatever you want to say. Clearly, that's a stupid comment. All right, one sentence. Jordan Love.
Too inconsistent. Has to stack games. Had a great game against Pittsburgh and then followed up with a dud. That will not get them to the Super Bowl.
Micah Parsons.
I think he's a little frustrated. He's doing his part, and I truly believe that the rest of the D-line is disappointing him because he feels that his presence would make them better, and they're not living up to their end of the donkey, as you would say.
Matthew Golden.
Frustrated. I personally thought he would be more involved. I think he will be. With the injury to Kraft, I think he's a good player, but I think he's a little frustrated. by looking at Abuka's number and Tet McMillan's number.
Christian Watson.
Slowly working his way back. If they want to get, if they want to make a deep playoff run, he really has to emerge as their top receiver.
Mike Holmgren.
Mike Holmgren, the best coach I've ever had, and I've had some good ones. I'm talking head coaches. I've had some good ones. He was so good because players feared him. I don't think players fear LaFleur, and I think that at times reflects how they play on the field.
And lastly, Andy Reid.
From a position coach standpoint,
for those who don't know, he was your tight ends coach at some point.
4 years.
4 years.
If I did not have Andy Reid as a coach, I probably would have played in the league for 2 years, been a backup tight end and special teams player. That's how
This is not one sentence. How or why was he that good a coach?
Because
you send him money each month that you got only because of him?
I was his project, right? I was his he didn't like me at first.
Well, then that tells me he's a good judge of talent. I am assuming he picked you as
a
project.
Well, let me tell you this. I'll tell you where it all turned, Homer. This is where it all turned. All right. Because when I came into the league, I was undersized. I was underspeeded. I could play the game. I knew the game. I was smart. I knew how to get open in certain areas. He saw that. I couldn't block a lick. He had the patience to break me down. But I'll tell you when it all turned, Homer. He thought I was soft. Until my second year, we were running kickoff return in practice, and I got in a fight with my own player on kickoff return and kicked the ever-living you-know-what out of him. And all I remember, I had the guy's helmet up, and I was drilling him underneath the helmet. I got about 3 punches in, and all of a sudden, bam, like a D-end hitting a quarterback from the blind side. It was Andy Reid. And ever since that point, he's like, all right, this guy has got balls. I am working with him. He is going to be my pet project. And he turned me into the player that I was.
Do you think he would tell the same story?
Yeah.
Or he might say something else changed his mind on you? Ooh, we should get him on.
I've had Andy on. I think one of the best compliments he ever paid, he didn't pay it to me, he paid it to my wife. And this was at Brett's induction into the Packer Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Chewy was one of the smartest players I've ever coached in my entire career.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't think you can get a better compliment.
You know what the sports information director at Southern Miss told me when I said Marquette was there? I want an interview about Brett Favre. I don't care about basketball. He said, start it. I said, okay. He said, Brett Favre, the smartest quarterback we ever had, and it's not close. And do you know what I said?
What?
Was there another Brett Favre? Craig Carmazan next.
Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN. It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Carmazan.
Has any market been as consistent where they only have one team than Wisconsin? We know Chicago hasn't been.
No.
Fridays with Mo.
Yeah, but until you win a championship, you can't really say that. And they've had one championship.
Chewy, we're going to just create an AI. The AI Chewy can just bring up championship. We don't even need Chewy.
They've had one championship.
What, it's going to be put like a hologram over there?
Yeah.
Craig Carmazan on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Saturn Lounge, your partner for marketing strategy, creative content, and winning campaigns. From websites to video and everything marketing, visit SaturnLounge.com to tell the world your story.
Yes, it is Chewy and the B-Team. Craig Carmazan normally on with the regular show at 7:30, but with Chewy and the B-Team, it's 8:35.
This is the B-Team?
Yeah, that's Will and I are the B-Team. Nobody's here.
Am I part of the B-Team?
No, you're part of the regular team. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are on every day from 7 to 9. Jen's not here. Gabe's not here. Josh, the producer, he's not here. The only one who's here is Chewy and the rest of us at the B team.
Chewy, will you admit I'm right?
On what?
He doesn't listen.
No, that was on me. That's not on Chewy. I said the NFL regular season doesn't matter because every week the only teams we think are good lose, and then we don't know what to think the next week. And then the Colts get shellacked you know, in the exact same environment, and the Packers lose at home. Like
more this year than I can remember.
It's never been this, where every single week the best teams lose. Even the Chiefs were the team who now
and
everyone's
they lose
like,
to bad teams.
And but now it was even the Chiefs. Like, oh, the Chiefs are back. They're the best
team.
But then they lost also.
I will say this. Losses today do not matter as much or affect players as much as they did back in my day. Is that fair?
Well, yes, because I think like each one did feel like it meant more, where it's now like, we're still in good shape, we're fine. And I think whoever said it, I think it's a good point. I think with only one bye,
the one bye almost feels
unrealistic. So I think people are like, we just need to win our division, get home field. Like getting the bye, you know, used to mean a lot more than it does now. It still means as much. It's just a less realistic goal, I think.
But it's weird because we had an attitude back in the day. Like when the second year when we played the Broncos, when we went to San Francisco on the road in the NFC Championship game, we knew we were going to win.
Yeah.
We knew we were going to win.
Oh, come on.
But I think
I'm serious, Homer. I'm serious. The problem was when we played Denver the next week, we knew we were going to win.
Yeah, they knew in the Super Bowl they were going to win, too. It just didn't happen. But Chewy, like, you guys lost that one game to the Colts, which I feel like we still remember, like, 20 years later where they stunk. And, like, that just didn't happen. Like, it just didn't seem like those laying the eggs happened as much. But, I mean, still, you look at the LaFleur era, and I know everyone's being – it's time to be critical of them this week. Like, they're pretty darn, like, when they lose grandly, but it's not like they're going 9-8 every year.
No. And I agree, and Jason agreed with me, and I'm sure Homer would agree. It's not the loss that makes you feel bad. It's not the loss. It's the loss of Tucker Kraft, which makes you feel horrible.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you do wonder, like, okay, is this team just going to play down to its competition, right? Because it's like, all right, they've lost to the Browns and the Panthers and they tied the Cowboys, but they stepped up and dominated the Lions, dominated the Steelers when they got put in the spot on Sunday Night Football, and now dominate the Eagles, or do we not think that's happening?
It's not happening. But it's a legitimate position, yeah.
So what do you think happens?
I think they lose.
Chewy, what do you think happens?
I think they win. I think they respond. I think they knew they were embarrassed last week. I think they come out with the same energy that they had the first two home games of the year, and they beat them.
I believe they'll respond.
As long as there's not like a fumble that's not a fumble, and like the way that playoff game started was just so bad. And I feel like that taste, like this team seemingly doesn't get up for certain games. Playing the Super Bowl champs who eliminated you is a non-negotiable. So I think we see the best version of this team, Homer, which is why I think they win.
Okay. I mean, that's fine. They're favored. The Packers are favored. So Vegas says the same thing, even what happened.
How will you guys feel if they kind of get worked by like 14?
Won't affect me that much.
Really?
No.
You're saying because it's still early enough?
Yes, I think they're a good team. I think they have enough good things in them. It's just a question of how far. And I think Philly's good. So, I think it'll be one game, and they have no Tucker Kraft. And, I still expect them to make the playoffs.
It'll make the division tougher.
But I still think they're a good team.
And by the way, Detroit is pretty flawed.
Everybody's flawed.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I don't know. Like, is 11-6 now like the new 13? Like last year, the Lions and the Vikings. I feel like the Vikings went 13-4 and couldn't win the division.
The answer to your question is yes.
But hold on. I think the Rams in Seattle are pretty darn good, and the reason we're not putting them higher up is because they play on the West Coast, and you don't watch a lot of their games.
Well, we know they're due to lose one then.
Well, I think Seattle, it's because it's Sam Darnold, right? So people are like, we saw this last year. They won all these regular season games, and then they ended up not being legit. So I think right now, Sam Darnold has elevated to where he went from being not a starting quarterback to now where people are like, all right, he's a top 15 guy, but is he a guy you're going to like look at as elite? And I think that's why Seattle is suffering from that. I think it's because Sam Darnold's
the quarterback.
What
about the Rams, though? What about the Rams?
I think they're good also. I think they're good.
Yeah.
I think there's the West Coast bias. I'm with you on it. I totally am with you. But I think Homer's right. They'll now lose then. Because if we think they're good, they're going to lose. That's what this NFL season's been. That's happened to the Rams. We decided the Rams are the best team in football, and they went out on a Thursday night and lost to Mac Jones and the 49ers when the 49ers had everybody hurt on their roster. Like, that's what this year has been.
Yeah.
So this year is based on now Seattle and the Rams are due to lose. They're due to lose to somebody you don't think they should lose to. It's happened to everybody.
Yeah.
It's now their turn because they've both won three in a row. So, and if they don't, then they would be the team that you'd have to start looking. But it's impossible to believe. You can't say anybody is that good. I still believe Kansas City, but that's based on their history as well.
Mahomes has been really, I think, a little underrated this year. They've had the injuries at wide receiver. He's actually throws deep balls again. Like, I think he's dealt with a lot of stuff this year. By the way, the real question is, are the Chicago Bulls good? That's what everyone wants to know. Because they are coming to Fiserv Forum for the NBA Cup as the number one seed, Chewy, in the Eastern Conference.
Well, let me ask you this.
Why do you do that?
What?
Try to sell the NBA Cup.
Because it's great.
It is not great. It's
yes,
nothing.
It is.
It's manufactured crap.
It's manufactured. It's not crap.
It's crap.
No, it's
means
not.
Means nothing.
No, it's an array.
Pick the guy who, the team that wins the games every has the best Friday record. It means nothing.
No, it means a lot.
Okay,
it, no, because players
it's play, try-hardy.
Okay, because first of all, it counts as a regular season game, which means something to begin with. It's a division game against the Bulls, which means something to begin with. And then you add to it that players are playing harder because they have a different incentive. So you get more of a feel. You get your closest feel to what, you know, this early in the year, what teams really are because they're playing at an elevated level.
All right, let me ask you, Craig, I'd ask you this.
Is there any
toad.
History of what's occurred in the past to give you any support for that theory?
You're saying that the Bucks defeated the Oklahoma City Thunder? Yes, so the Thunder were the best team in the West, and they made it to the finals of the Cup last year. So that is
so what exactly did the Cup show?
The two best teams last year were the Bucks and the Thunder.
Oh, clearly at the end of the year, yes.
But the Bucks just had injuries.
Oh, okay.
Right?
We want to know the other things you believe in addition to this, so just keep going. The Bucks were the second best team in the NBA last year?
The Bucks were not. But but the Bucks were, if you look at the Bucks and how they went out last year, people like to think, oh, they just went out in five. But if you look at that series, you look at the injuries, you look at how Giannis played, you look at how the supporting cast played, they were much better than just losing in five last year in the first round.
All right, let me ask Homer this, Craig, because I'd ask you, but you're too much of a toad.
Which I
Homer,
am.
How good can the Bucks be this year, Homer?
They can make the Eastern Conference Final.
Wow. Homer's
toady. Is that enough, Craig? Is that enough?
I mean, I'm not going to bet a whole lot, but they're younger, they're faster, they did everything that they needed and could do to have a chance when two
Chewy,
of the best teams.
Making a conference finals is unbelievable.
I agree.
I don't think they will, but I think they have a chance. And with Boston missing a great player and Indiana missing a great player, you have this one-year opportunity that won't be the same next year.
And if you can make the conference finals and you have the best player in the conference finals, then you have a chance.
Yes.
So then they have a chance to make the finals.
No.
Well, but you can't say they have a chance to make the conference finals.
That's pushing it.
Again.
And that's why I didn't ask
what
you.
What percentage chance do they have to
right,
make the
you're saying
because
if Giannis has dragged you through two series already, asking him to drag you through a third
right.
series, but I think that is where the question is of what that supporting cast
I'll
has become at that point.
I think I'll probably be wrong that they won't make it that far, but I think that people should like everything they've done. They did everything possible, taking advantage of a year, I would not be saying that if Boston and Indiana had their full team.
You can, Chewy, you can say, if you're looking with Bucks colored glasses on, that the Bucks right now are the eighth best team in the NBA. I mean, and that's not like a crazy statement to make.
I never looked out of care.
Yeah. I'm saying, and
yeah,
so
that's fair.
So when you're in that mix, you're, you know, there's a chance, and that's what, you know, you want when you have Giannis in his prime. You want every year to feel like you have a chance to win, which this team absolutely does.
Craig, what's your take on what's going on at the University of Wisconsin?
Oh,
right,
good
now,
question.
With the football program.
Nicely really good
done.
Question.
Hold on, before he talks, please let Craig hear the athletic director at Wisconsin. And talking to ESPN made something very important clear.
It's not limited to wins and losses.
Okay. Those seven words will live with Chris McIntosh for the rest of his life. Maybe the top seven ever made in reference to him.
See, my take, Craig, is the chancellor told him you're not getting rid of Fickell because you're not paying the $25 million buyout and we're not paying another coach to replace him. Your thoughts?
I don't think it meant that much yesterday. I don't believe that's a final decision. I just think things can change, and you know, until like it's votes of confidence in season when you're on a path that the Badgers are on, I have seen change. So I'm not going to read too much into what was said yesterday because I want to see what the team does on the field, right? Like let's see how they respond. And if this team wins 3 of the next 4, right? I think we'll – are there 4 left? Don't say it doesn't matter. If that happened
– No, there's no chance of happening.
We all believe that has no chance. If that happened, we would all look at this very differently.
Yes.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But
if they don't
win a Big Ten game,
mm-hmm. yeah.
in terms of going into this offseason, mm-hmm. figuring out where the NIL money is going to come from, which I think they'll find it eventually. I mean, I don't think they've looked very well, by the way. I think if you look at the University of Wisconsin and all of its resources and all of its assets, I don't think they've looked very well. I know a lot of people who've never once heard from the University of Wisconsin saying, hey, do you want to support our program? I know of a lot of people who've lived here for their whole lives who've never met Luke Fickell. And if Luke Fickell doesn't feel like that's his job for them to know him, then I think they're going to continue to not have money. I mean, I think that I think they don't understand sales. Yeah, we're in the sales business.
Yeah.
And if you're going to try to build a business through selling, I don't think the University of Wisconsin is right now on the right path.
But my only addition to that is that's all on the chancellor. It's not on the athletic director.
Well, I mean, who's the general manager of the football program?
Of Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Wisconsin?
Whatever. It's just a made-up position.
No, it's not. But if it's a made-up position, then have it be Joe Thomas or have it be J.J. Watt and have it be a high-profile sure. thing that's making a difference. I don't know. The general manager might be awesome of the Wisconsin Badger program, but the only way I could tell you his name, Dr. I can't remember
Marcus
his name.
Marcus Sedberry.
Dr. Sedberry would be to look it up. Right? Like, and to
and
me.
And who's responsible for the person in that position? Chancellor.
I would assume that's Max Hire.
I know, but just, I bring this up because we've all lived this before and it changed only because of Donna Shalala.
Yes, absolutely.
And it will only change now because of the chancellor, and the name and that importance is never mentioned enough.
Yep, I think you're right there. I think you're absolutely right there. And I think we know Mac wants to win, which is why that quote, I hope, doesn't live with him. Mac cares about winning as much as anyone. That's why he was the player he was. That's why he's been the administrator that he's been to this point. And that's why he brought in Luke Fickell.
Then why would he? I missed it. Will, can you play the athletic director again? It's taking.
It's not limited to wins and losses.
Yeah.
Excuse me,
to?
Sir. I'm just curious. Why, if he has the passion that you speak of, why?
I'm not going to try to defend it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to. I mean, I can't defend anything that I saw, said, and in that, right? Mm. I don't think anyone who's not biased and connected to the program agrees with what was said. So I think it's hard to defend it right now, but there's obviously a lot of people who are connected to the program who, you know, want us to wait and see what happens. And there was a reason everyone was so excited about Luke Fickell. We have not seen any of those, right? Mm-hmm. Outside of that first off season when the Badgers won the national championship in that first off season on social media. That was the only time I think this program has been energized since Luke Fickell was hired.
We look forward to when you come into the studio and you're wearing a Wisconsin hoodie, not an NBA hoodie.
NBA Cup, baby. Pfizer form tonight. Dude, Bulls Bucks, it's like, think how fun the Cup series was. Like this, the Bulls are coming in as the number one seed. This is going to be the first time in like 5 years that Bulls fans are going to come to Pfizer Forum and act like they own the place. Like, this is a big game for just...
I don't believe you'll have five Bulls fans here that believe they own the place.
You're so wrong.
Okay.
You've never met people from Chicago then.
Yes, I have.
If you don't think going 6-1 makes them think that they own Wisconsin...
No.
Anything makes them think they own Wisconsin.
Not if you are around for the glory years of the Bulls. No, I don't think it does.
Because they were around for the glory days of the Bulls, that's why they think they own Wisconsin.
Oh, yes, they think this is the same. Okay. We'll check. You would know way better than I.
Because the Bears beat the Bengals last week. They think they own Wisconsin, and the Panthers beat the Packers. I mean, the Chicago fans, I know Chicago well.
Know.
They will look for any reason to feel like they own Wisconsin.
Other than Michael Jordan, the Bears are 100 times more important than the Bulls.
Absolutely. But any opportunity to show superiority, they're always looking for. Okay. So it'll be happening. So Bucks fans represent tonight.
Next. Thanks.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are back after this on 94.5 ESPN.
Right. 50 seconds left. Now 40 seconds for Chewy and the B team. Chewy, you get to finish with whatever you want.
No, I want to ask you a question. Homer, how far does LaFleur have to go in order to retain his job?
Make the playoffs.
Just make the playoffs?
Yeah, just
make the playoffs. So a 7 seed and lose again, yeah. He
gets another year, yes. You think not, obviously.
Without a contract?
He's got 1 year left, I think.
I know, but no one likes to be a lame duck.
You take what you can get.
Okay.
How about you? If he doesn't, well, how far does he have to go? You're in charge now.
I think win a playoff game.
If he doesn't win a playoff game, you would fire him.
Yeah.
We'll close on that. When's the interview coming? We know Wilde and Tausch next.